Welcome to the Humanist Union of Madison Monthly Meeting. And Ingrid will introduce our two speakers today.
Hi. I think some of you may recognize me from having given one or two other programs here in the past. I'm a photographer. I'm also affiliated with Madison Skeptics. And as a photographer, I've had the good fortune of photographing at some kind of high-profile events that are kind of humanist-oriented, including at the Amazing Meeting in Las Vegas, which is sponsored by the James Randi Educational Foundation. And then I also went to the Reason Rally in Washington, D.C. a couple of years ago, and so I did a little program about that here as well. This is a somewhat different conference that just kind of piqued my interest when I learned about it. Dale McGowan, I'm sorry, I should first introduce Amy. Or Amy, do you want to introduce yourself and how you're kind of tapped into the community?
Okay. I am also a member of Madison Skeptics and also the Secular Coalition for Wisconsin. And Ingrid told me about the conference, thought it sounded interesting, so we headed off to Chicago to see what it was all about.
Great. Amy Nowak.
Nowak,
thank you. I had to ask her about the pronunciation of her name earlier. So in any case, Dale McGowan, who has been a guest presenter here several times for the Free Thought Festival, which is put on by Atheist, Humanists, and Agnostics of UW-Madison, he is president, I believe, of, head honcho for the Foundation Beyond Belief. Foundation Beyond Belief is a humanist organization that is seeking to do good charitable work in the name of atheists and so on, and kind of change people's perception. Do good work, number one, but also kind of get people's perceptions changed about, you know, atheists and, you know, where do we get our morals from, or do we do good works? Well, yes, of course we do, but oftentimes people don't know this. So when I heard about this conference in Chicago, and this was held at the Hilton, not far from O'Hare Airport, I just thought, well, maybe they need photography. And so I contacted Dale, and he's like, just let me know, they don't have a budget for it, but you know, if you want to attend and take pictures, we would love that. And I said, yes, sounds good. So anyway, I felt fortunate that Amy wanted to come along with me, just because it's more fun to attend when you're kind of traveling with someone. So in any case, we hightailed it down there about 2 months ago or so. And I'm just going to go ahead and pass around the program, and people are more than welcome to ask me questions, but all the speakers will be listed in here. The people they had speaking were in one capacity or another doing service projects that ranged from working in third world countries. Is that a term that's still okay to use? Maybe that's fallen out of favor at this point. But in any case, developing countries where they were dealing with everything from safe water problems to agriculture, hunger, sickness or whatever it might be, to people doing like disaster relief here in the States. One of the kind of high-profile speakers that they had on here was Rebecca Witzman. I hope I'm saying that correctly, but in any case, maybe some of you remember that Wolf Blitzer had gone to Moore, Oklahoma to interview people after that horrible tornado there, or a series of tornadoes. And she's this young woman, I think mid-20s or so, and she was there with her son, who's like a toddler, and Wolf Blitzer from CNN wanted to, you know, just interview somebody whose home had been destroyed by the tornado or tornadoes. And at the very end, or towards the end of the interview, he said, well, you must just thank the Lord that you're alive, don't you? You thank the Lord. And she, you know, amazingly and bravely enough, kind of chuckled and laughed a little bit and said, well, actually, I'm an atheist. And so he did this whole double take thing. And, you know, like, oh my gosh, what do I say now? Oh, okay. And she's like, it's okay. You know, I'm sure other people are thanking the Lord or, you know, whatever. But she was really somebody who kind of like all of a sudden appeared on the national stage as like, yeah, I'm willing to say, you know, I'm actually not a theist, you know. So that got a lot of play on social media and so on. People saying, hey, you know, look, there's this person willing to come forward. And actually, it seemed, I don't remember the entire story behind Rebecca. Like, now she actually lives in Washington. So her home was destroyed in Oklahoma. She actually... she and her family ended up moving to Washington, and now she works for the Foundation Beyond Belief and does things like try and inform people who are interested, you know, as a humanist, as somebody who isn't necessarily out there with a faith-based organization, how can I help if there is a national or international crisis? And so she came and actually spoke at this conference. So. Do you remember more about Rebecca's story? I feel like I'm running a little bit.
Well, she talked a lot about what it was like for her personally when the tornado hit and what she did, you know, how she was scared and she didn't know whether she should run or whatever. And then about, you know, how she felt as a victim as far as, you know, if somebody wants to come and help her, they don't know what's important to her. She's very much into victim advocacy now because... you know, people would pick up things in her destroyed house and say, oh, this looks like junk, but maybe it was something that was important to her and they didn't know. Mm-hmm. And also people coming to help her that, there were a lot of church groups that went to help after the tornado, you know, and they want to pray with you after they help you and you feel guilty saying no because they're helping you, so how do you handle that? Those sorts of issues.
Yeah, it really was interesting. I mean, things I think that we take for granted, you know, before you're hit by a crisis, it's like, oh, you'd never think, like, you know, is somebody going to be sensitive on this issue or something else? And but yeah, so let's see. I'm just trying to.
Can I talk about Emily?
Question.
Yeah.
Do you know what her job was before the
Superior? I don't. Actually,
I got the impression that her husband was working and she was at home with the baby, so I don't know if she's taking time off or if she was just a stay-at-home mother. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I'm not sure either. I mean, from what we saw from the interview, it kind of looked like maybe she was, you know, yeah. But, yeah. And she really, I mean, it wasn't, well, let me see if I can. I'm just going to take a moment to try and find specific pictures of her. I mean, she is just a very personable and enthusiastic kind of person. Let's see if I can make this bigger easily or set it back to the slideshow feature. Where did that go? My screen looks different now that I'm afraid I've... logged on to the slide projector. Let's see. So anyway, that's Rebecca. If you saw her interviewed by Wolf Blitzer, her hair was a completely different color. It was, you know, kind of brunette. But she just really is kind of a, gosh, I'm looking for the right word. Well, anyway, she was wearing no shoes up there. She decided her shoes weren't comfortable, so she decided to go barefoot behind the lectern. But yeah, she's just a really enthusiastic and articulate, I think, advocate for, you know, people who want to get into this kind of work or representing people in general for the organization. So she also made us aware that, of course, this is like really hard to just pause now. Or wait a moment, maybe it's not.
Yeah, she cried a lot during her speech.
So. Yeah, so there was a fair amount where, you know, she's like, I'm sorry, I'm just going to warn you right away. It's like, I'm going to end up crying here. And she did, but doesn't want to pause, does it? But telling people where they can get training if they wanted to start doing humanist sort of service work of that nature. This is Dale McGowan, of course. Well, some of you might know of him. Oh, gosh. No pause.
Click on that.
Okay, finally. Also, they had some areas set up where people could actually assemble bags that are used for... God, it's still pausing. Okay, so I guess I've regained control of my computer here. Yay. So here this woman is actually assembling packages that would be taken to like areas that were disaster hit, or in this case I think it might have been for homeless people or people who otherwise for some reason needed these sorts of things. So there were a number of activities that people were able to engage in to do good right when they were there at the conference. Something else that's related to education, they had some used books and so on that they had to sort and to then distribute. Please, come on. All right, there. Distribute to schools or, you know, places that aren't served very well. They had a small room off to the side for sponsoring organizations. So this is Black Non-believers. I think they're based out of Atlanta. So, and some of you may recognize Alex Jules because he was also one of the speakers at the first Free Thought Festival, if any of you attended that here. He did a program on diversity. All right, I gotta click twice. So anyway, you know, it was a very nice conference. It was on the smaller side compared to other things that I've attended and been to. They had about 110 people who had RSVP'd or paid their fees to attend. I think they were shooting for about 150 or something, but it's the first one of its kind. It's not a conference in the same way that there are a number of conferences that are just fun to attend. This one was enjoyable to attend. Everybody was wonderful who I met, and we had a lot of interesting conversations. But it wasn't one of those conferences where, you know, you have fascinating speakers talking about science. This was more really about activism and that sort of thing. Amy, do you want to say anything more about that, or did it seem...
Yeah, it was very focused on activism, and they had awards for people who had done activist work. And I mean, if you want to talk about Emily, he's the first speaker. Emily Gonzalez, he's from Miami, and he was a high-powered real estate agent down there. And kind of after the housing bust, he decided he wanted to do something else with his life, and he went and worked for Mother Teresa's organization in India. And he said it was very poorly run. He was really not happy with what he saw there, so he started his own organization working in India and providing medical care down there. He said Mother Teresa's organization, they didn't have doctors, they just had, you know, basically lay people working there. Felt like people weren't getting proper care there. So he started his own organization down there, and now he travels down there, and this is that's him.
So yeah, I think something too that he did, or you know, he was pointing out that faith-based organizations such as, you know, what Mother Teresa and, was doing, that sort of thing, those aren't necessarily science-based things that are effective. So that was something that a number of speakers talked about, this one as well, and then, come on, all right, there. I'll just look up her name, Caroline Fennis, or Phineas. In any case, she wrote a book, and I'll forward here in just a moment. But she wrote a book about how to find good charities to give to. So, you know, as people who are, this is her book. So it ain't what you give, it's the way that you give it. So she was kind of addressing, I guess, how to be a more effective helper, or, you know, if you're interested in giving to charities or doing good work, you know, how do you know good charities from bad charities, or what you're doing actually helps. One example she used was, if I can find it here, what actually gets kids to attend school in, like, here, some of the developing countries here, where they did studies, Madagascar, Kenya, and Kenya. And, well, they found that free school primary uniforms hardly helped at all in terms of getting kids to continue in school. Merit scholarships for girls didn't help, but actually educating the parents about the return on investment for having your child continue in school, that yielded the best response. So, you know, just in terms of, you know, well, I think we're all, many of us are often bombarded almost.
Are you sure that's the case? I thought the uniforms were most effective for.
Actually, according to that,
I can't read it, so that's what I'm asking you.
No, I was pretty sure. I'm pretty sure I understood it correctly, but it wasn't the uniforms or the scholarships, but education.
This is very hard to read. Why don't you read it? I'd love to know if
you can read it. Okay. So additional school years gained for $100 spent. So information on returns to education for returns.
Oh, I see.
On parents for education. That resulted in like 20.7 additional school years, so educating the parents. But free primary school uniforms in Kenya only yielded less than an additional year's worth of the children attending school. And merit scholarships for girls, surprisingly, you know, even yielded less. So I think really the point of it was that, you know, take a close look at, or, you know, I think it's very easy to have an emotional, or you see a lot of emotional appeals to, like, here, you know, please contribute to this wonderful cause or whatever it is. If you look at the science behind some of these things, some things are definitely more effective than other things. And
yeah, but you know that the lack of effectiveness of merit scholarships for girls is really something that parents
probably. Yeah, that's a problem. That's not a problem with giving, it's a problem with attitudes.
Oh, yeah.
And maybe the culture as well.
The culture is still very male oriented.
Which is why training the parents helps.
Well, in Madagascar, I mean, that's really, it's not even in, you know, part of Africa, technically. It's, you know, a whole different. So I was kind of wondering about culturally, you know, was this the best example? But it was the one that she used, so.
Not a good
statistic.
Well,
it's a good statistic.
But it would change
for
each culture. But that points out how important looking at the science for each culture is, because it might be different for another culture, but you need to look at the evidence in that culture.
It probably makes a lot more sense if, you know, unfortunately, actually, I don't know if they have the talks online yet or not. I've been meaning to check back with them because there are some questions I had for, you know, running around taking pictures, I can only partially pay attention to what's actually being said by the speakers. But it seemed to make sense at the time that she was presenting it, so.
Yeah, I thought some of the Eastern European students that we've hosted, their parents see their children's education as their retirement plan. It's an investment in my kid being able to take care of me.
As when I'm in my old age.
I'm sorry?
Bad and early mortality.
Yeah.
Especially with a lot in Eastern Europe.
Yeah. Yeah, I wish I could remember more details about it, but like I said, if you did want to look up the book, and come on, please go on to the next slide, because that's going to just come back to her book real quickly. Here she provided, although my depth of field is her. My focus is on her as opposed to what's there, but one of them, SEBP, is Society of Evidence-Based Policing. So, policing?
Policy.
I thought policy.
There's not a name that's with the law.
Yeah, so in any case, there are resources out there if people want to find out what, is this charity I'm interested in good or not? That sort of thing. And so a number of the presentation presenters had topics that related to this. Let's see. Okay. And let's see. So here again, this woman, who's Brittany, well, it's listed in here. Brittany Schutz Reinhardt. She is also with the Foundation Beyond Belief. And so I won't go through all of this and read this all out loud or anything, because you really kind of need to have seen the entire presentation. But again, they were looking at what is the science, or what does the research really say about what makes certain types of charities good or not so good. So, and let's get through this a little bit. So, trying to think what else, and here we've got Rebecca again. Were there certain parts that really spoke to you, Amy, or that you would like me to zip ahead and discuss? Or
The other two parts that I really enjoyed, Leo, I don't know if you have pictures of him, and then mm-hmm. David Smalley's.
Oh, yeah. Leo, and unfortunately I'm going to mispronounce his name, Iwigwe, or in any case, he's an activist who works in Africa, not just one country either, I think.
I think he was working mostly in Ghana.
Yeah, I think what he talked about was largely in Ghana. But in any case, he was talking about how educating people, getting them to hopefully be more skeptical. The first time I saw him was at TAM, the amazing meeting, and so that's a bit more of a skeptically minded a conference. But in any case, he was talking there about the work that he did in order to try to educate people in certain parts of Africa where they do things like target people who they think are witches. And there are a lot of irrational beliefs there, and unfortunately, oftentimes the people who are, and I'll start with the slideshow, this is Leo here. There's just a lot of awful behavior perpetrated on people who, for whatever reason, get chosen out of a community. Oh, you're a witch, or something bad happened. Well, we've got to find somebody to blame it on, or whatever it might be. And wow, that color is really odd.
They have separate villages set up. They have villages set up for people who are deemed to be witches, witch camps. And he was doing some work with those people, but what he was really doing was trying to work with the people in the communities to educate them on how you determine what's responsible for something. Like if someone gets sick, instead of blaming witchcraft, what's the evidence that shows you what's responsible for this? So he was really trying to change their way of thinking about it more than just working with the victims. He wanted to educate the people that were, accusing people of being witches so that they'd have an evidence-based reason instead of supernatural causes for sickness or...
Yeah. Did he say how effective he was being in doing that? That seems like a tough task.
It is. He's been doing it for a while, and I think he's had some success, but I don't think that the problem is solved by any means. It's
huge.
Definite problem there. And yeah. Like I said, he was working in Ghana. I don't know if that's because that had more need for something like that, or
I'm not sure
why he picked that country.
No, neither. And I thought he had done work in Nigeria as well, it's such a huge problem, and unfortunately, even with the Ebola outbreak, Nigerians.
Especially with the Ebola outbreak.
Yeah.
You can blame it on witches, and who's to say that? Not right. It seems like witchcraft to me.
Do you know what Oxfam and
what
their orientation is as far as guidance and Oxfam
Like what their approach to that problem is? I have no idea. I would assume at least that Oxfam just keeps focusing on famine. I'm not familiar with the other one. But no, I'm afraid not.
Read about a work in India by a humanist group where they would go around to
villages where there were superstitious actions going on with kind of a magic show, pretending that they were doing witchcraft type of things, and then they would reveal to the people how they did the trick. Mm-hmm. So it was a way of educating people about that kind of hucksterism. I saw kind of Meta in your pictures. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us what his presentation was about?
Did Hammond actually have a... I don't remember.
He's on the board.
He's on the board.
He's the executive director now of the Foundation Beyond the Void, something like that.
I'm pretty sure Dale is that, but he was like president of the board or something.
Well, he's got some...
Yeah, I mean, he's up there, definitely, and there is a lot of recognition of people, you know, who were doing these things, or, you know, it's like, at the end of it, it's like, you know, you may have just noticed there are a bunch of awards given out, and so, and I'm afraid I can't even tell you, these two women worked with Dale in Foundation Beyond Belief, and we're going to be moving on to different positions. Then this woman stood up and said, wait, we've thanked everybody, but we haven't thanked Dale. And so Dale gets a standing ovation. Oh, the man on the left, I'll just point out, I don't know how many of you read blogs or anything, but this is, beautiful. Okay, so Ed Brayton was the gentleman in the blue shirt on the right, in case any of you wondered what he looked like. And that's Ed Brayton. But yeah, I mean, there's just a lot of appreciation of people, or, you know, must have been like 15 awards handed out that evening. And if you want to see who got it, or most of the people who were presenting received, or it seems like there's a lot of overlap, the people who were presenters and who were receiving awards. But I think you can go to the website too and see the full program to see who's been talking there and that sort of thing. Yeah, I'll just continue with this. It's just gonna go to the dogma debate. Do you wanna talk about that, Amy?
Yeah, I was also, what was that girl's name? The one from Arizona, she told her story about how she grew up in Minnesota, and then somehow she became the head of Arizona's secular coalition, but they worked, and some of these other groups did too. They have full-time paid